Judges chapter 2. A lot of sad things going in Judges. We looked at it previously a few weeks ago. Judges 2, verse 1. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. He said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named that place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at an age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us things that happen, not things that are always good. We cannot boast in the way we today do, even like these people in this society, in our country, in our world. Lord, how tenuous is the hold we have on good things, and yet how firmly we grasp evil and pursue it. And we see it in Israel, and we see it today. So, Lord, we are to learn from history, you say, is for our admonition, our warning, and to teach us. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn the lesson. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Facts, Ronald Reagan said in one of his debates, are stubborn things. Which means if it's a fact, you can't unfact it. Our world lives with the practice of unfacting. They think and they practice opinion or modern day changes or trends that those facts overcome other facts. And when we talk about facts like this, I'm not talking about fact that, you know, today we're wearing one color and tomorrow we'll wear another color, and so that fact from yesterday is no longer true today, but it was still true yesterday. Facts, truths, absolutes do not change. Morality does not change. It changes in the world, not with the Lord. The Lord does not change. It's why morality stays the same. But our society changes. People drive the morality of our day. So, our morality changes because we can't be wrong. The morals have to be wrong. So we change the morals. But if we were to state a fact that Scripture speaks, we'd have to say that life is absolutely better with the Lord. That life is peaceful more with the Lord. That life is lived in the light more with the Lord. We would say even that you're not living in the light unless you're walking in the laws of God. In every way, we have benefit from taking the side of the Bible and living the way the Lord has laid out in the Word of God for us to live. Even if a person doesn't want to. Even if a person thinks that the way they live is much better, like Laodicea thought that the way their church was, that was the way it should be, and everybody else probably should follow that as well. They were the ones in the middle in the balanced position. But the fact that things are the way they are is the fact that the Lord is who He is. He's the true God. All other gods are idols. We must answer to the Lord, not to an idol. A person that thinks that their life is much better with Allah or Buddha or Krishna or whatever other god you name, that's their opinion, but it won't fly because these gods are made by men. The gods of the nations are idols. God made us for His glory. He designed us to live in righteousness. Our bodies, and we see that a lot in Proverbs, but other places as well, our bodies are made to live righteously. If we don't live righteously, we have destruction. We have self-destruction. The trouble we get into, the alienation from God, all of that is very damaging to the psyche, our souls groan under it, the trouble we get into. You see that, as I said, in Proverbs, don't do this, my son. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. The man who is tempted by the wicked woman in Proverbs, he goes to her house like an ox to the slaughter. See, he's digging his own grave. Because the Lord's made us this way, and we can't make ourselves another way. We're made the way God has made us. So if we live in separation from the Lord, we can't have good, because the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The one who follows the Lord is blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So if we want to be a blessed nation, if we want to be a happy people, if we want to partake of goodness, by fact, that would be by the Lord, because He's the one true God. Sin will always be destructive, and it will destroy others along with ourselves. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm only hurting myself." That's very rarely true. People hurt others with their sin, especially parents. If parents are evil, then you know they're affecting their children. And our society becomes what our society is by a lot of people, more people than not, being a certain way, and it tends to move in that direction. We are not able to define facts of morality and absolutes. We're sheep, the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep, Brother Barry told us one time he was here, sheep are dumb. Sheep walk into a ditch. Just lolly, 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 and he had to pull them out. They wander off. They put themselves in position where the wolf just waits for them to come. I don't even have to get up and go. I'll just wait for him to come over here. They wander off. If they're with the shepherd, they can be safe. But if they wander off, they're in trouble. We don't have the ability. I mentioned abortion before. That is very plainly displayed in that. For anybody to say abortion is okay, it is proving that we don't have the capacity to make any kind of moral judgment. And now to say that the baby can be born, you can chase it down the hall if you have to, make sure it's killed if the mother wants it that way. And that just shows you what an awful thing has happened. In other religions, women are very much mistreated and demeaned. Children are led astray. Innocents are slaughtered. Error is promoted, taught. So, knowing all that, knowing the dangers, and I learned very early in my life about dangers of yellow jackets and yellow jacket nests, which you don't see. The hole is what comes out, and You don't see the nest until you've poured gas on it and burn it or something, and just for curiosity, dug it out. But the first time I got into one of those things, I got an education in absolute fact that if you go across in anger or even get in the vicinity of a yellow jacket's nest, they take it personally. And they attack. And they stung me. And ever after that, I was, looking out. Because maybe in 10 or 15 years, I'm sitting around saying, when I was 6 years old, I got stung. But that was 16 years ago. I'm 21 now. I bet the yellow jackets have all changed by now. What's going to happen? Facts are stubborn things. And the yellow jacket is living on more absolute facts than our society does. They're not changing their ways. They're who they are. So the most important thing for us, if the Lord is the one that makes us what we should be, is to settle our minds on the Lord, to be with the Lord. The safest place to be in the world is on solid, firm ground. I don't like heights. I feel like, if I'm down on the earth, that's a solid ground. If I went up high, I'd have to have a pretty wide space to feel comfortable. And that's the safest place. Living on the edge is dangerous. You're liable to fall. And, if your tendency is to fall, then you don't want to be near what makes you fall. For someone who's had trouble with alcohol to work at a ABC store, a convenience store, and all the stuff that's nearby just draws him in. We're very much drawn that way. So God did several things for Israel to staple into their souls that He was the one true God and that all the gods of the nations were idols. And He did that in Egypt. And Egypt had all its gods, and God judged them all and brought Israel out from that place and magnified Himself. So anybody in Israel could know that all the gods in Egypt, none of them were able to stand against the Lord. They knew that. And when they came out, they went through the Red Sea. They had water and food in the wilderness. They were cared for. They saw God's glory on Mount Sinai. They came into the Promised Land. They crossed the Jordan River the same way they crossed the Red Sea. God gave victories there. So there is a lot of facts that God has given to them. He chose them. He worked wonders in their midst. He's given them leaders. Joshua and the elders here we see were some who kept the children of Israel with the Lord. He gave them clear commands to follow so that they would know how to act the way they're made. That was their instruction manual. First thing I did was when Cindy found the keyboard and I got it down into my office, is I looked and found the instruction manual on the internet. Got to have that. There are too many keys on that thing to know what in the world they're for. I played around with them a little bit, as Cindy has testified. But I like to kind of know what exactly they're for from the manufacturer's perspective. So that's what I did. Well, the Bible and the law of God is the instruction manual for us. We can't do what the world says we can do and be okay. The world says you can do whatever you want to do. And it's okay. Because, there's no standard that can absolutely be applied to you. But that's not so. And a lot of people experience that heartache of doing something the world says is fine, and it's not fine at all. And sometimes they don't even ever shake it. So the aim of what the Lord does is to make people independently devoted to Him. if you probably if you're a good parent, first day of school for your children, you probably accompanied them maybe. You set them down somewhere and explained what was going to happen. You went to the school possibly and talked to the teachers and found out what was going on and gave your kids some comfort because they're launching out into a new world. I know my mom did that. So that's what you do. If you're still doing it as a senior in high school, well, they're dependent on you. They can't function unless you're there. If you're not right there on top of them, they might walk into the grocery store and just take out all the potato chips and take them out to their car and not pay for them. Well, why couldn't I do it in the kitchen? But you have to become independent. And so the Lord brought the people helps, and they were to get to a place where they followed that themselves. They're like one chain in a bucket, fire brigade bucket, where you're passing water to throw on a fire. Each of those are to form a part of the chain to put the fire out. And so once that is done, then you see every person has a place to pass on. But then the next generation, they should know that then. There shouldn't have to be another bit of walking them, taking them by the hand, and leading them down the most basic path. But what we see here in this opening of this chapter in Judges 2 is that the people have failed to complete what they were supposed to complete. Go back to Judges 1, verse 19. It says, now the Lord was with Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had iron chariots. Then they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had promised. And he drove out from there the three sons of Anak. The sons of Anak were the ones that the reason they said they couldn't take the land in the first place before they had the 40-year wait. Well, he drove them out. But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the sons of Benjamin in Israel to this day. Likewise, the house of Joseph went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. The house of Joseph spied out Bethel. Now, the name of the city was formerly Luz. The spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city, and we will treat you kindly. So he shows them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go free. The man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and named it Luz, which is its name to this day. But Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. So the Canaanites persisted in living in that land. It came about when Israel became strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who were living in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Abla or Akzib or Helba or of Aphek or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Bethaneth, but lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became forced labor for them. Then the Amorites forced the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the valley. Yet the Amorites persisted in living in Mount Heres in Ajalon and in Shalbim. But when the power of the house of Joseph grew strong, they became forced labor. The border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. Now notice how all that is worded. They did not cast them out. They did not drive them out. And we're told in some places that there was a reason. They had iron chariots. They did not drive them out. So they're victims. They couldn't. They tried and they failed. You know, it must be the Lord. It must be bad circumstances. And we didn't have enough support, or they had too many people. But that's what the next chapter starts off with. The Lord responded to that when it says that the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed. What is this that you have done? See, it wasn't that they couldn't, it's that they didn't. Instead of driving them out, they made a peace treaty with them. It was easier to do that. That's very trendy. It'll be called humane today. It wasn't very long after the buildings were attacked in New York, Pennsylvania, things happening there. September 11th, and all that, all those things, how angry we were. You know, it wasn't even 6 months to where people in this country were calling out for mercy. Mercy for these people. Oh, it's us. We're the problem. And it's pretty much persisted since. It doesn't take very long for people to lose their drive and to lose their purpose and to lose their, discard the commands of God. And he wanted them driven out. He wanted them out of the land. Oh, we couldn't do it. In each and every case, you keep seeing it over and over and over and over again. If they can't do it, God doesn't come back and say, you've disobeyed me. Fly to the moon, the Lord says. I can't. You've disobeyed me. We can't. We really can't. I mean, without a spacecraft. But they disobeyed. Therefore, verse 3, therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. In other words, the Lord is saying, if you won't drive them out, they will be exactly what they would be and why I told you to drive them out. They'd be a thorn to you and a snare. And afterwards, that's their judgment. They're willing to take the thorn and the snare rather than going to battle. Battle's hard. Battle's dangerous. Takes effort. And just like they were before they entered the land, and they said, we can't go in there, the children of Anak are there. They're doing the same thing. They go into the land, they cross the Red Sea, they cross the Jordan, they can't take people out because they're too strong. And reasons are given. Excuses are given. The Lord doesn't take it. And the people did what people do when they don't listen, what they're left to. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named that place Bochim. And there they sacrificed to the Lord. That's a place of weeping. They cried. You can undo anything by crying, can't you? I mean, you smash your finger as a child. What do? Maybe as an adult. And so it just gets all better, doesn't it? We're told that Esau sought repentance with tears. He couldn't get it. You know, there's a country song. David, you might know who sang it. I can't remember. Oh, it's crying time again. You're going to leave me. Well, the time to get over the crying was to make her not leave you, I guess. After she leaves, I mean, you can cry, but what's going on? She's bye-bye. So this is it. They have chosen not to cast them out of the land. They're going to be there, and they're going to be thorns, and I think they were probably just waiting for the Lord to take them out himself. But instead, the Lord left them there, rebuked their unbelief, and left them in tears. That was them. And this is the danger. And so you see after that they have a dependent relationship with God. Verse 6, when Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. So they served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and they served the Lord all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, but they did not serve the Lord all the days of the Lord. It was Joshua. Joshua got them into it. It was the elders. The elders kept them to it. But when all that went away, they were dependent. And so they flew off to their own ways. And so we're told. Verse 8, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, hill country of Ephraim. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. And after that, I didn't read that, verse 11, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Completely different God. Because facts are stubborn things, but not as stubborn as the people of Israel. And the memory of God passed on. And they're no longer now. They don't even know the Lord. I mean, notice what the word is there. They did not know the Lord. This happened in Egypt with a Pharaoh who arose who did not know Joseph. And because of that, the people of Israel suffered. And now a generation arises who do not know the Lord. And so that generation is going to suffer. The Lord put in place a chain of events to where the knowledge of the Lord would be passed down. It was to be spoken of in the home. It was to be put on the walls, the memory of the law of God. It was to be talked about when you're walking, talked about when you're sitting down. It was to forever be before the people. So how could it be lost that quickly? Here's how quickly it can be lost. Parents hear about the Lord. They have children. They don't tell their children about the Lord. They're not faithful to the Lord to bring their children up. Their children, just one generation after, don't know the Lord. And then they have children, and they're completely cut off. And when granddad and grandma die who knew the Lord, and their parents die who knew about the Lord, and then they have their time, and they don't know anything about the Lord, then the whole of society has changed, and they've fallen away. And it doesn't take long. This country, one time, our nation, we had a generation that knew the Lord. Not to salvation, but we knew the Lord. We knew who he was, knew about the Bible, had some respect for it. I mean, it's passing quickly. That's how soon it can be lost. A church decides to move off to something else, and then the next generation of the church, they're completely gone. It just doesn't take. We wish it would take a longer time. But it just doesn't take long. And so the result of Israel's disobedience was a cycle that they got into. Now, the cycle of judges is that they would sin. Then God would judge them by sending an oppressor. We saw that with Gideon and the Midianites. And so the oppressor would judge the people for their sin, and they would become miserable. And they would cry out to the Lord, and the Lord in his mercy would send a judge, a deliverer. And by the mercy of God, they would be delivered again. And then the judge would die. And then they would forget about it all. They'd go right back to where they were, and the same cycle would repeat itself over and over and over again because they were dependent, not independent. Our service to the Lord, our love for the Lord, our walk with the Lord can be helped by others. I mean, it's my job to do, but it's all of our jobs. We're to encourage one another and exhort one another, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews says to the Hebrews. So we're to keep each other fresh in that, but the goal is always to be that we are independent lovers of God. That you can actually someday leave a child by themselves and they will fear the Lord and not get into trouble. That's the goal. And children taught that way will hold on to it, I think, if they really grab it. But they got to grab it independently. They got to get it. They got to get off their dependence and become independent of the previous, and then they'll make dependence on them, who they hope to make independent people who love the Lord on their own. And the loss of that is corrupting society. Milk, if you leave it long enough in the refrigerator, will spoil. I always hate to find that out, that it's spoiled. I'd rather sniff it and find out, though, than the other way, where you actually drink it. And then it's, you know, it's not buttermilk, it's sour milk. So even in the refrigerator, it can go bad. But you know it's going to go bad if you sit it out on the counter. It won't take long that way. Basically what we've done with people. People are not attached to the Lord anymore. They're not refrigerated. They're sitting out and spoiling very quickly. And the solution, as we noted this morning, is to watch, to analyze, to stay fresh with the Lord, to use the means of grace, the Bible, prayer, the church, fellowship with believers, and never let our guard down. Because corruption is a creeper. Corruption is one of these creeping plants. It's just kind of is stealthy and gets over everything. And when we came and moved in where we live, the house was, I mean, it looked kind of nice. We took it off after a while. It had ivy all over the wall, the outside of the house. And, I mean, it looked okay, but then we got to the point where we said, you know, it'd be nice to have that out. So David came out there with a water blaster. I mean, he blasted that thing, and that stuff came off. But it stays off by, every once in a while, you got to blast it again or trim it or something to keep it off because it won't listen. The creep of weeds is defeated by the voice of Roundup. So our lives are to be a choice of the Lord, that we live independent in our world on our own as lovers of God without having anyone else tell us we have to. But then we pass it on to others, lest corruption come into the land. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?